Okay, we're going to jump in here this morning, and I want to share a few things related to 2018, but also, and I shared some about this last week, I'm going to go a different route today, but some things related to what I believe God wants to do for us as a church, and some of the things we can even measure how we're doing by. Some of these he wants to add to us. You know, I found in my own life that the Lord is always changing me. I don't know if you found that about yourself. He's the unchanging one, but he's really good at changing us because he's getting us. Life is a process, it's a journey. And I believe it's the same for churches as well, that as a corporate body and then as individuals and as families, he's changing me as I allow him. If I give him the okay, the Holy Spirit wants to get stuff out of me that he doesn't like, that's not helpful, that's not good, and he wants to put inside of me great things, faith, joy, hope. I want to be more like Jesus, more confidence, all of those type things, and I believe he's also doing that with our church, is he's adding some things to us, he's adjusting us, he wants to get us to where he wants us to be. And so I want to talk some about that today by way of, I'm going to use an acronym that we have come up with our team here, our church team, and the acronym is SPEAK, S-P-E-A-K. And there's each letter in that stands for something. And so we're gonna just kind of go through this. The first one is S, Spirit of Excellence. This is something that we want to have as a part of the, not only foundation, but I said part of the culture of who we are as people, but also those here at Awake Church, is that we would have a spirit of excellence in everything that we do, right? One of the knocks on Christianity as a whole, I would say, and over time, is that oftentimes, whether it's our music or our art or our movies, right? Oftentimes, those are not nearly the quality or done in with the excellence that sometimes the world even does. And it's like, I always think that when I think of certain songs or I think of certain movies or I always think, this could be done so much better. This could be done in a way that reflects heaven rather than taking what the world has done, sterilizing it, and trying to make it for human consumption, but there's no creativity attached to it. It's not done with excellence. And I believe that God wants us to be people of excellence in everything that we do. As we represent him, in reality, we should have and do have, we do have the very best of everything. That's what God gave us, the very best in the person of Jesus and all that he's given to us. So we have the very best to give away, the very best love and kindness and all of those things. Genuine power, genuineness in every way we have. Plus, we are ambassadors of him. He says that of us, that we are his ambassadors, ambassadors of another realm, of another place. And things are done really well in heaven, right? And part of the way that the world is going to see that God is real and that heaven is real, and honestly, that the Jewish people are going to see, is that they're going to become jealous of what we have in God. The Bible talks about that, right? We need to have something that causes people who don't know God to have this jealousy. Like, I want what they have. I want that. And that is an excellence that comes out of us that I want to have here, that God wants us to have. And particularly since we're attached to in the Creator, then we should be the most creative people on the planet. Right? Someone said to, heard him say years ago, the closer they get to the sun, the hotter it gets. So the closer we get to the Creator, the more creative we should become. Right? Where things are done in new ways and in ways that are done really well. I want to have an excellence in everything that we produce, the way that we do things here, not just Sunday mornings, but Sunday mornings, yes. We don't want to have just an agenda that is so strict that there's no movement at all and it's just a form that has the appearance of excellence. We really want it to be from our heart. And it will have flexibility attached to it. I think Jesus was that way. Talk about doing everything in excellence. Jesus is the perfect picture of that. Yet, as he's going one direction, someone says, hey, I need your help. There's someone who's sick, someone who's dying. And so he was able to have the flexibility of being distracted, but providing excellence in whatever that he did. And there's a scripture here. It says, I love this. This is Mark chapter 7, verse 37. It says, they were thoroughly astounded and completely overwhelmed. They were thoroughly astounded and completely overwhelmed, saying, he has done everything well. That was what they said about Jesus. Wherever he does, whatever he does and wherever he does everything well. Everything is done well. It's not half-baked. I was talking with my kids about this yesterday because oftentimes we can, as a family, in my family, things can be done halfway, whether it's cleaning something or right. Sometimes we can do things halfway, and I don't want that culture in my own house. I want the culture that everything that we do, whether I'm cleaning something or taking care of something, that it's done well. That's what they said of Jesus. That's the culture of the kingdom is, they said this of Jesus, man, everything that he does so well. He does it well. That's that spirit of excellence that I want to have in every way for us here and in my family and with our staff. I want to get better and provide more excellence in what I'm talking about. All of those things. I remember I was leading a school of ministry one time, and there was a young guy that was in the school and gifted guy, and he came to me one day and he was excited. He said, Matt, I got a new job. I said, great. Where are you working? And I said, what happened? And he told me what his new job was going to be. And then I said, well, what happened to where you were? And he said, they fired me. And I said, well, they fired you. So what happened? And he said, well, you know, I wasn't coming to work on time very often. But I've got this new job now. And he was real excited about the new job. And I said to him, oh, man. I said, you know what? I said, does your former boss know that you were a Christian? That you're a believer? He said, well, yeah, I was always asking time off to go do these Christian things. And I said, you know what I think you should do? Is you need to go to your old boss who fired you and apologize for being a lousy Christian. For being someone who wasn't excellent in anything, because you were a reflection of heaven to him, your reflection of what a Christian is like. Instead of, you know, coming late all the time, how about showing up on time? And I said, you should apologize to him just to make that right and say, I'm so sorry because I did not serve you well here. I did not reflect you well. Now, he looked at me like a deer in the headlights when I was saying this to him. But honestly, I really believe that we are supposed to be this reflection of him that provides excellence in everything, right? Okay. That, to me, that's not harsh. That is honestly really loving. Because I want that for myself as well, where we treat people and we are the best at our work. I worked in secular work before I did this for many years. And I wanted to be the very best. I want to reflect, you know, heaven in that place. And there are people, I know many, many in this room that are like this, that are full of excellence, that do things so well. I can name many, many of you. And you just, that's who you are. Whether it's you're hosting something or you're serving somewhere, and whatever you do, you do it with excellence. And so I really commend you. That is really much of what our church culture is already, but we want to continue that. The P in speak, at this point, represents passion. To have passion. We want to have passion in what we are doing and not do things through obligation. You know, that really is one of the hallmarks of a religious spirit, is that you do things because you're supposed to. You go to church because you should. At least on Christmas and Easter, if nothing else, right? It's this obligatory type of thing. It has zero to do with passion. When the kingdom is involved with Jesus and what he has done for us, you find that there's passion that comes up inside of the people that are following. And that is what is supposed to be inside of us, this passion for things. You can tell a passionate person versus a passionless person, regardless of what they're involved with. Someone who has passion inside of them for something, it communicates, it oozes out of them. And we're invited to be passionate for him, in love with him more than anything else, and excited about his kingdom above all else. And so there's passion that comes out of me, and it should come out related to the things that we like and we love and we do. Whether it's a hobby or a job or whatever it is, we're serving somewhere, there should be a passion attached to that. You know, even in our marriages, in our relationships, there should be this desire for the very best instead of having this numb feeling in life. You know, that's also a part of the religious spirit. It's almost like a numb feeling. It's going through motions, going through motions. That has nothing to do with the kingdom, really. That has nothing to do with the kingdom. The kingdom is all about a voluntary group of people who are passionate for God and love him and are partnering with him in the earth, not those who are doing things out of obligation. And so oftentimes I've seen in my own life and other lives that where there isn't passion toward the kingdom, toward Jesus, toward being involved with kingdom things, it sometimes is related to I've been hurt by people. I've been let down. I have had expectations that were unmet. And so once I'm jaded in some way, or once something falls apart in some way, then passion can be drained out of me, and then I'm just a go through the motions type of person. And that is not where we're supposed to be. And if we are there, you know what? It's okay. I've been there as well at times. It's time to say, okay, Lord, this is where I am. Being honest. I don't feel passionate about anything. About my marriage or about the kingdom or what you're doing on the earth. I don't feel anything. If that's where we are, we got to own that. Say, Lord, I'm asking that you would take this away from me, and I forgive. I forgive the people and even you, Lord. If I feel let down by you, I feel let down by other people, or I've been wronged by people or hurt by people, or whether it's my spouse or kids or boss or neighbor or whatever it is, I choose to forgive them, and I ask that you would reignite passion on the inside of me for you, that my first love would be fully alive. Because if passion isn't in me, then that's an indicator. That's one of those indicators on your dashboard of your soul that says something's not right. Check the engine. Check the engine. If I don't have passion for something, something's not right. Because there should be this excitement and joy on the inside of me. And if that's not there, something's hindering that. There's a governor on that. There's a blockage. Something's blocking the fuel line for that. And I want that taken care of because I need passion in what I'm doing. I don't want to be a go through the motions person that lives with a numbness on the inside. Colossians 3:23 says this. It says, whatever you do, do your work heartily. To me, that is similar to passion. Wholeheartedness. Do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than men, knowing that from him you'll receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ who you are serving. It's really Jesus that we're serving in everything that we do in the natural. Everything that we do in the natural, it really is him that we're serving. I use the example oftentimes of David out in the field, the youngest boy sent out there with the sheep. Who wants to watch sheep? They smell, they're not smart. You're away from people. All those things. And here's David out there with sheep, watching sheep that he doesn't even own. These are his dad's sheep. But then it says, a lion came and a bear came. And what does David do? He's watching things that aren't even his, yet he's willing to lay his life down to save those things. That's wholeheartedness. And as he kills a lion and a bear with his own hands, remarkable, Spirit of God obviously helping him. I think, honestly, in heaven, the Father's going, wow. If that is how he will treat sheep, what would he do if we gave him people to watch over? He's gonna work heartily. He's gonna have, his whole heart is toward me, whether he's in the field watching sheep that aren't his, or he's gonna be king over people. And there is something about that wholeheartedness, that passion for God and for others that is, it's a beautiful thing. It's something that God can promote and use on the inside of us. Okay, the E in speak stands for empower. We want people empowered. I want you empowered. Our staff, our team wants you empowered and equipped to do what God has put in your heart to do. We want you to feel permission. We want you to feel permission to do things, to go for things, to try things, to minister to people. I will often have people come to me and ask me if it's okay if they pray for someone or if they say something or do something. And I appreciate the heart behind that, honestly, of wanting to not just do something without permission or is this gonna be okay? But I wanna say in this type of place, here's how the kingdom is. If you read Luke chapter 9 verse and through chapter 11, Luke 9 through 11, you find that Jesus empowered people before he even taught them how to pray. Before he taught them how to pray, he gave them power over the demonic. And he said, go minister, two by two, go do it. They go do it. They see some great things. They also mess up. There's all those things. They come back and they said, would you teach us how to pray? This is after they've been empowered. They didn't go through a lot of prayer meetings and a lot of Bible school and a lot of training first. They went out in the power of the Spirit to do stuff and they learned as they did stuff. They learned as they moved in the Spirit. They learned what they needed, like, I need to learn how to pray. And that is the same type of culture that I want you to have here, where you feel empowered to go and to minister. When you see someone in here on a Sunday and you have this word for them, or you're feeling like, I want to encourage them. Not correct, that's a different area, right? That's where authority is there to correct, and that comes with responsibility. But when it comes to encouragement, man, let loose with that thing. Go encourage someone. Go pray and bless someone. That's not stepping out of bounds. That is, you have permission to minister. You have permission to try things. You have permission to step out. You have permission to start things. If it's something that you want the church to endorse and be behind, then do talk to me about it. But if it's just, man, I have this heart for homeless in the city. I've got this passion to help the widows. I mean, you have permission. Go for it. We want you to not only go for it, but I want to also equip you in some way. How can we help you do what God has put inside of you? That's part of the culture that we really want here. And again, a religious culture is the exact opposite. When you look throughout history, it's been about control with the religious institution of you better not do anything unless I tell you to. I'm the clergy. I'm the one who hears from God. Yeah, you don't as well as I do. You know, that was the mentality when really Jesus was the exact opposite of that. My sheep hear my voice, all of them. That's what he said in John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. It's not just about the clergy, obviously. You guys know all this. In Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12, it says, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, what we call the fivefold ministry, for the equipping, you can add empowering in there as well, of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. In other words, I really believe that this verse is true and that this is God's heart and it's my heart and our heart as well, is that my giftings, my position, whatever here is to be used to give those things away so that you can do the work of ministry. That's what the scripture says there. That every person realizes what their gifts are and they are doing the work of ministry. Mine is to equip, mine is to empower, give permission, and you get to do as much ministry, if not more, than I do. And that is how the kingdom is set up. It's an awesome thing. Talk about the opposite of religious spirit. It's empowering everybody to see themselves as a minister. I want you to see yourself as a minister, as a person who is filled with heaven, filled with the Spirit of God, and he may want to use you at any moment of any day, at any time, to release healing, to release wholeness, to speak life, not to necessarily preach at people, though sometimes that will happen, but to minister to people, to serve. Really, the word minister means to serve people. So you have permission to go for it. The A in speak is authentic or authenticity. We really want to be a place that's authentic and want to have a church and a people who are authentic, and really we do. I hear that is probably, here are the two things that people typically say when they come here, they're a part here, are, I feel so much freedom. That's one thing. And the other one is they will often say, it's just, you feel very real. And I love that because that's also a part of the kingdom. It's being real. You read the Bible, there are some crazy stories in there. The good, the bad, and the ugly is all throughout the scriptures. The Lord doesn't hide those things. I mean, whether it's crazy, immoral stuff, immorality, or it's lying, or it's the Lord's own apostles trying to call down fire from heaven to burn up and murder people, whatever it is, it's all in there. The Lord doesn't hide that. But oftentimes in religious institutions, we try and hide the bad and the ugly and not be real and put on a show and put on a performance. And I'm committed to you to not put on a performance up here. I want to be real. I'm going to tell you my failings and faults and all those things. And I know that we, because in those places of honesty is really where the Lord helps us. And where we can be real and be real to other people, because the people are looking for authenticity and they can smell it when it's not there. The world knows when we're being fake. In fact, the number one complaint as I've talked to people throughout my life about Christianity would be this, and you all heard the same thing, a bunch of hypocrites. They say one thing, they perform, they've got the preachy on, but in reality, the way they live is completely different. And that should not be and will not be in the end the hallmark of Christianity. That's changing. So we want to be authentic here. We want to be real. Want to not put on a performance. We want to be the same under the lights as we are without the lights. And in every place, this isn't Hollywood, right? This is about being real. And so authenticity is really the hallmark of the kingdom as well, of how God wants us to be. I remember being in a church several years ago. It was a large church. I was really young, and I was checking out churches. I went to this one several times, and got to know the speaker just a little bit from afar, not know personally, but know just by his preaching. And then he wasn't there one Sunday, and there was another person up there. And it was like I had to rub my eyes, because the person who was taking the place of the main minister had the same exact mannerisms, the same voice, inflections and everything and movements. And it was one of the spookiest things I've ever seen, to be honest. I didn't go back because I realized that this was like, this person was trying to be just like that person. And I was like, that's not how God made this. You know what? Star Wars, let's leave the clones to the Star Wars. That's where they belong. But every person has been made uniquely with unique gifts, talents, abilities, styles, mannerisms, all those things that God put inside of each one of you. God wants you to be who you are fully and not like someone else. Everyone else is already taken anyway. So we just want to be who we are and live within the framework of who God made us to be as he changes us more and more to look like Jesus. But that still, as we're looking like him and as we are being more like him in nature, it doesn't mean that we all look the same. It means that his nature is on the inside of us through our unique personality and all of our uniqueness that we have, from our fingerprints to the retinas in our eyes. Everything is so unique. God and everything that he's made on the planet is unique. Every snowflake is different. Come on. So God loves that uniqueness. He loves that difference and the diversity. Oh, I love diversity. And that's how God is too. That's authenticity too. We don't want everybody to look the same, act the same, other than we want the fruits of the Spirit to be alive similarly through everyone, right? Okay. Ephesians 4, 22 through 25 talks about this a little bit, and I'm just gonna take a few little parts of these verses. It says, lay aside the old self, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new self, like we were talking about earlier, put on the Lord Jesus, put on the new self, lay aside falsehood. Falsehood to me in one sense has to do with not being authentic, pretending, all of those things. It says, lay that stuff aside. Speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. Speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. Ah, truth is a beautiful thing. Honesty is an awesome thing. I remember watching this guy who had been addicted to heroin, and he came to the church, and he was so brutally honest with where he'd been and his problems and his failures. And that honesty also came through in his desire to want God and not all this other stuff. And I don't think I've ever seen a drug addict get more free more quickly than he did. Brutal honesty. He's not pretending. He's just saying, this is warts and all. This is how I am. But I don't want to be this way. I want Jesus all the way. And I used to work in a rehab center for heroin addicts. And that is not normal. Typically, with addicts, there's always this play. And there's not that brutal honesty oftentimes. And, you know, in the church, we can be that same way. We can put on a face, but it's not really who I am. And I don't want to be that way. I want to be real all the time, authentic, who Matt is all the time and who you are all the time. The K in the speak is kingdom-centered. Kingdom-centered means that my life, my efforts, my passions, my loves, my words, my everything revolves around Jesus, revolves around him. It's for him that I'm doing these things. It's in him that I do these things, that I'm centered with him on the inside. And here's one of my definitions of the kingdom, and I'm sure I'll talk more about that because I talk about the kingdom every year. It's one of the most talked about topics in the Bible and the New Testament. Part of my definition is this: the kingdom is the invasion of the rule and reign and power and freedom of Jesus into the world. It's the invasion of what heaven has and is into the world, and Jesus started it when he brought it. It's like a holy contagion that wants to take over fully. It says in Matthew 6:33, which I see this on my clock oftentimes, maybe you do, on your odometer, your clock, 6:33, that's a message. Seek first the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, same thing, and all of these things will be added to you. Seek it first, that's Jesus's words. Seek this above everything else, the kingdom. So the kingdom does need to be the center of everything, even if we don't understand it fully. We put the kingdom in the center of everything, of my business, of my family, of church, of everything that I do. I want the kingdom centered. It's about him. He's the king of this kingdom. And then, of course, as Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he taught them this way: our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. It's first words out of the chute. Pray this way, that your kingdom would come. Kingdom focus. I'm asking for this. What if we ask for that every day? I want to. I don't do that. Okay, and then lastly, and we'll leave this here, is as part of a culture, and this doesn't have to do with this acronym of SPEAK, but this is something that I would like to see, and I believe that we, against the culture of the world and of religious institutions, really, I'd like to see a little bit of a culture shift in this here, in this place. We sometimes, and we've done this maybe two or three times in the last 10 years or so, sometimes we will switch the service around. Maybe you've come in when we've done this, where the speaking comes first and the worship comes at the end. I don't know if some of you remember that. We've done that. So I'm speaking. Usually, as I'm speaking, people are walking in, and then they're looking at, they're thinking, daylight save, what is going on here? It can become real confusing because I'm speaking. We do worship at the end. But it is a weird feeling, to be honest, as a speaker, when I'm speaking and there are only 25% of the people here. And to see them walk in while I'm sharing, it's weird. It's a little bit odd, to be honest. If you're speaking at an event or you're speaking at your work or whatever, and the time is, you know, whatever it is, and you're gonna start, you share, you've been preparing, you've got this presentation, you're sharing, and only a part of the people are there, and then they start walking in slowly as you're speaking, you'd feel disrespected in some way. And part of the church culture is to just come in whenever we feel like it. And I would honestly like this to shift a little bit here, where we would have a culture, not because we've got police and not because there's condemnation, not because out of obligation, honestly, but out of honor and love, that we get to worship together once a week corporately and love on God, that I want to be there before they start. I want to honor those who are up here who have been spending a lot of hours during the week preparing, and oftentimes when they start, there might be 20 people in here. And so what if we had a culture shift? Again, there's zero condemnation. That has nothing to do with the kingdom. But what if we just changed the culture a bit? Like, I want to change some of the culture of my own family, where we have excellence in everything that we do. What if part of our culture here was that we came ready to worship? We came honoring those up here, in one sense too, who have been practicing and are ready to go, and they're wanting to take us on a journey in worship. And sometimes that journey can be hard to take us on when it's two or three songs before we're all here, right? That's just, I'm being honest, okay? And so what if we had a culture, I would love this to happen, for Awake Church to be known as like, man, you better be there on time or you might not get a seat type of thing. You ever been around those churches? I've actually been some of those places. When revival was hitting in Pensacola or Toronto or things like that too, I mean, people standing in line for hours to get in. But I would love to have a culture here where we are here even ahead of time. I do that. I mean, any meeting that you have at your work or during the week, if you're meeting someone for coffee, you say, I'm going to meet at 10. Guess what? You're there. But for some reason, the culture in America related to church, we can be real lax in that. And I can just come when I feel like it. And I didn't realize until I was speaking and people were coming in the door how the worship leaders must feel sometimes. So sometimes putting yourself in someone else's shoes can help you see a different perspective. And that helped that for me. Anybody feeling condemned because you shouldn't? That's not what this is about at all. It's about heart. And it's about having passion, but also about honoring other people and honoring the Lord. I want to come here giving my very best. I want to come here together and enjoy one another as we are worshiping corporately in this. And you guys, goodness sakes, even, you know, today as we're worshiping, you guys are worshipers. This is so wonderful. I feel oftentimes like, let's just keep going. Let's just keep going. We're going to have some of those scheduled as well. But you are worshipers, so there is zero condemnation. But I would love to, if you would with me, do your best to make that adjustment to be here so that we create a culture. We're invited to, not because I have to, because I want to be there. And I want to worship together. You guys okay with that? Okay. No eggs or tomatoes yet? And it's an honoring thing. It really is an honoring thing. So let's just, again, give the Lord this year and these things and ask him to continue to change us as we are being transformed. Looking in the mirror and changing every time I look in the mirror. And in the natural, in some ways I don't want, but in the spiritual. I want the spirit to be changing on the inside of me, where I really am more like Jesus, but I am growing more confident in who he made me to be too. For all of us, recognizing the gifts that you have. I'm believing this year that you're gonna recognize gifts that God has given to you that you didn't know you had. That you're gonna step out into things that you didn't know you could do. That you'll start things you didn't know you could. That this time next year, looking back, you go, my goodness, look what God has done in me. Look what he's done through me. Look what he's changed in me. Look at these addictions that have fallen away. Look at this passion that's there that I didn't have before. God's wanting to do that for you. This is going to be a great year. It's going to be a great year for you. It's going to be a great year for us. The kingdom is advancing. It really is. It's growing. Hebrews talks about the kingdom. It has, not only does it have no end, it's unshakable. It cannot be shaken, and it grows throughout time. It's the one thing in all of the universe that continues to grow and will never shrink back. it grows and it grows and it grows until Jesus comes back and it takes over. It's this kingdom that you and I get to be a part of, this small part. We get to worship together, love on him together, be changed together, be convicted together. Conviction's a beautiful thing. You can get me preaching on something else, I won't do that. But Lord, we just invite you into us all of the way to fill every part, to change, to adjust. Thank you for you loving us so much that you're the Father that will convict us, that will help us, that loves us. Thank you that you are our daddy. And thank you that we get to be called your sons and daughters. Awaken us fully, Father. We just give you permission. As you've given us permission to minister in you and with you in the earth, we give you permission by your Spirit to change and alter us, to awaken us fully, to put the passions on the inside that we should have, passion for you above all else, to put the joy inside of us that's attached to our salvation. May joy bubble up and abound in here and in us throughout the entire year. And we pray, Lord, I pray that there would be, that circumstances would not dictate the joy level in our hearts, that atmospheres that we find ourselves in would not dictate how we're feeling and what we're going to do and how much faith we're gonna have. But Lord, may your faith be strong in us, may joy arise, and Lord, we invite you to change and alter us from the inside out, and in the natural, heal every disease, every bit of sickness, every ailment, everything that's not the way that you created it to be. We ask and speak your healing, your kingdom, the fullness of the power of your kingdom here among us all year long, every day, every hour. We would live and thrive and be in you and in your kingdom. Have your way, Lord. Help us to seek first these things that you have said to seek first, and you'll add everything else. Lord, help take our eyes off the everything else and put it on you, and you'll give us those things. Lord, I bless and speak blessing over every family, over every individual. Continue to cause the culture here to be a reflection of heaven, a reflection of your kingdom. We give this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Hey, we've got a couple of things going on. One is prophetic teams. If you'd like to receive prophetic ministry, if that word seems spooky, it's not. It means encouragement. So if you'd like to receive encouragement from some people who are going to say, God, would you give me an encouraging word for you? This is your place. You can go right over here and these teams will help you and speak words of life over to you. We also have ministry teams over here on this side. If you'd like prayer for something, if you want someone to agree with you in prayer for something, they will do that. And they can also introduce you to more of God in ways. And so feel free to come and receive that ministry. And don't forget your kids. Have an awesome week. Stay warm. Bless you guys.